to Animal Geeks, the continuing adventure of a Kiwi vet and his animal mad daughter.
Welcome to episode 4 of Animal Geeks. Elephants, this is a special episode. Why, Xanthi?
Maybe because I'm here?
Yeah. So, we've got Xanthi here. She is flying back to New Zealand next Monday. Is it the 5th?
I don't exactly know.
About the 5th of October. And so we thought we'd take the chance to do a special elephant episode with Xanthi before she goes back. That's because...
Elephants are one of my favourite animals.
Yeah, elephants are something that's always been around my house as well. I think I've mentioned before when I've been talking to Xanthi that my mother was born in India during the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And so we always had little Indian artifacts in the house. And, you know, I remember particularly there were two carved elephants.
She still has those when I go over to...
Yeah, no, so they're still there, and I think they've actually got genuine ivory tusks and things like that, which is with the ivory trade now, that's actually a bit of a shame, but you've got to take it, these are historical artifacts, and the, you know, the ivory would have been put in there, you know, around the time she was born, you know, in 1942-43, so...
Yeah.
This is a special episode, and it's also a bit of a special episode because we've managed to get the podcast back up on iTunes, which we
finally.
Had...
Finally!
Yeah, we had trouble with our feed, and then I asked Apple to remove the feed, and it was pretty tricky to get to convince them to get it, get them to put it back up again. So
they actually, like, take that... They actually take into account all of these podcasts.
No, it's more they need to check that there's no profanity and things like that in the podcast, and also they don't want you to have two feeds off the same website and things like that.
Yeah.
So they just had to, you know, look through our list of podcasts and just make sure they looked right. So look, it only took a few days, but it was a bit frustrating. That's all. But anyway, on we go with elephants. So what we're going to do, we'll just do some general discussion around elephants, and then we thought we'd go through some sort of true or false statements, because there are lots of myths about elephants, aren't there?
An awful amount of them.
Yeah, so we know, look, there are two basic subgroups of elephants living at the moment, don't we? Any ideas what they're called?
I know the Asian elephant because it's my favourite, and African elephant, aren't those the two main ones?
So yeah, two main groups, the Asian or Asiatic elephant and then the African elephants. There are two types of African elephant, the bush and forest elephant. There's some discussion amongst scholars as to whether they're actually two different subspecies or just two geographical groupings of the same species, but that's probably beyond the scope of this podcast.
Yeah, way.
What do you know about Indian elephants in terms of why they're different from African elephants?
I know that you can actually kind of tame them so people can sit on them.
Yeah, they're heavily, so they're domesticated, and there's evidence of domestication from up to 3,000 years ago.
Whoa.
Which is interesting in that there are elephants in Borneo, for example, and we don't really know how they got there. We suspect they were probably transported there rather than them being a natural population there. They were moved there some, you know, possibly as long as 2,000 years ago. So anything else about them physically? Any differences?
I know that African elephants have one hump and... Asian have two humps on their head,
Yeah, you've got it. The Asian elephant have two, the frontal bone above the eyes sort of sticks out. There's sort of two humps at the top of the head. And the head also is elevated, so the highest part of an Asian elephant is its head. The highest part of an African elephant is its withers.
What's a wither?
The withers are the basically, if you can imagine the top of the front legs.
Oh, yeah.
If you're on a horse and you're on a saddle... The withers are the sort of little hump that's just in front of the saddle, you know, perhaps where you rest your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically it. African elephants are bigger. I've got some details here. So Asian elephants, the females approximately 2.2 metres tall, the males 3.2 metres tall, females weighing about 2.7 tonne, and males weighing about 5.4 tonne.
Those are big boys.
Yeah. The African elephants... about half a metre bigger across the board. So there's not actually a major difference between the elephant sizes. Okay, so let's move on, Xanthi. We're going to start going through some of the facts. Right, true or false? Elephants use their ears for calling.
Yeah, like big fans. I've seen them do it.
Yep. Yeah, so they've got very clever calling systems in their ears. They're able to open and close the small arteries in their ears, and then obviously they're able to flap their ears as well to increase cooling. True or false? Elephants are scared of mice.
I don't exactly know if they see the mice.
Have a guess.
Okay, I'm guessing they wouldn't be because they wouldn't see the mice because they'd have stood on them.
No, I think that's false. The elephants are no more scared of mice than any other animal, and I wouldn't think that an elephant could care less about a mouse, to be honest. And I think that, if you like, that's sort of stemmed, I think, from Disney.
Cartoons.
Yeah, it's sort of cartoon. It's a sense of the ridiculous, isn't it, that an elephant would be scared of a mouse. And, yeah, and I think that whole, I think Dumbo was scared of mice, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, but he could fly with his ears, so.
Exactly. So he was able to fly away from the mice. Yeah. True or false? Elephants drink through their noses.
I think so, yeah. Definitely, because
it's a bit of a trick question, isn't it? What they do is they can pick up water in their noses.
Oh, put it into their mouth.
And then they put it into their mouth. They, you know, they don't suck water right through the back of their nose.
I can see why. It doesn't feel nice when they do.
No, I think that's quite right. Obviously, in the back of the nose, the trunk doesn't have any bones. It's a muscular organ. And at the back of the nose, there's the frontal sinuses. And elephants have a very, you know, very good sense of smell. And just like us, getting water up your nose is uncomfortable, and I imagine the same is true for elephants as well. So they can draw about 4 litres of water up into their nose, give or take. They then transfer that water into their mouths. They can also spray water over their backs, which they do for cooling.
Nice showers.
Yeah, no, and one of the factors about elephants is that they're never very far from groundwater or water availability. They need to drink quite a lot, in the order of at least 20 litres a day, and obviously much more.
How much would 20 litres be in, like, human?
Well, it's like 2 bucketfuls or something like that. Which doesn't, I mean, that's obviously not much. They're a desert animal and very capable of living in desert surrounds, so, you know, they can probably, the fact that they can drink up to 200 litres of water a day, but I think that sort of 40 litres is probably a minimum.
Yeah.
True or false? Elephants communicate using very low noises.
They do, because I heard them, because in, like, David Attenborough, they go,
yep.
And make those sort of noises.
Yeah, no, they make rumbles, usually below 20 hertz, so below the limit of human hearing. And there's 2 suggestions as to why they make these noises. One is it allows them to communicate. Elephants eat a great deal of food, up to 450 kilos of dry matter a day. And so when an elephant group, especially a group of usually females and younger elephants, is moving through forest or scrub, they need to spread out so they can get adequate food, and these very low rumbles allows them to sort of keep in contact. And there's some suggestion they can communicate over quite long distances. The suggestion is somewhere around 10 kilometres.
Oh.
Some people think even longer. So, you know, you can imagine, I don't think there's any way a human could make a noise that could travel 10 kilometres, is there?
You might be able to if you were, like, in a plane or had, like, in planes. Although that's not made by a human, is
it? No, I think we're talking about noises we can make ourselves.
If you went cooey. Sometimes that goes over a kilometre.
Yeah, so Xanthi's talking about, that's actually an Aboriginal call, kooey, and it's sort of made its way into the vernacular of the English-speaking world, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Aboriginals use that as a call, and certainly in the Australian bush, it's a sort of a call that travels very well through the bush, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other thing is it's a noise like no other animal makes, so it's obvious it's a human making it. Right, Xanthi, next one. True or false? Elephants never forget.
I think that's true, because I've heard stories of, like, elephants who have had something bad happen to them when they were young.
Yep.
And they've never actually sort of forgotten what happened.
Yep, true. There's evidence of elephants having memory that lasts beyond 23 years. There was a researcher who saw a mother and her daughter reintroduced after 23 years, and they obviously, the elephants responded like they knew each other. So, yeah, they've got extremely large brains, and a lot of frontal brain function, and their suggestion is that they have a similar brain function to the, you know, the great apes, like chimpanzees, gorillas.
They're close to humans.
So. So, and they're also, they're self-aware like humans, so they self-identify. They're able to recognise people. We were talking last week about koalas and how koalas have almost no high brain function. You can't teach a koala or anything. There's no suggestion that koalas really recognised each other to any great extent.
They know they can do a few things like eat and sleep.
So really, elephants are at the other end of the spectrum, really. They've got, you know, a lot of high brain function, excellent memory. When you're talking about African elephants, they migrate long distances and they're able to remember where they're going to and why they're going there. You know, they're migrating with the seasons, obviously. So, elephants have an excellent memory. One of the things that's interesting about elephants is they have a life cycle that's actually not dissimilar to humans. You know, living to about 50 years, 60 years in the wild. They can live a little bit longer in captivity. And they go through a very sort of similar childhood period and teenage period as humans. So that's one of the interesting things about elephants. True or false, Xanthi? Elephants can't jump.
I know that is certainly true.
Yeah, it's true.
They're too heavy.
Yeah, they're too heavy. The force required to lift an elephant off the ground is beyond what they'd be able to create with their muscles. They're immensely powerful animals, but you know, just because of their sheer physical bulk, you know, you can talk about if they're something that's weighing 5 tons, you know, just the force required to even get it to jump a little bit would be just about impossible. So, can you think of any other animals that won't? That can't jump? I'm putting you on the spot here. I should have prepared you for this.
Okay, other animals that can't jump.
No, it's probably unfair to ask you that, right?
Yeah, fish maybe. Fish can't. Wait, you say can.
rhinoceroses can't jump.
Hippos. Wait, hippos.
Yeah, hippos can't jump. The other interesting one is that sloths can't jump.
They should be able to, shouldn't they?
Well, they can jump out. I mean, they could probably let go of the tree, couldn't they, and fall to the ground, but it's not really jumping. The sloths are designed to hang upside down. Their bodies are completely adapted for inverted use. Their hands are always higher than their bodies. They're just completely incapable of jumping, so I thought that was an interesting factoid that sloths can't jump. True or false, elephants have very thick skin.
I don't
have a guess.
I'm guessing that is most likely two.
True, yeah. In fact, you probably know the term pachyderm. That comes from the Greek, which actually means thick skin. So elephants have skin that's up to 1 centimetre thick around the back of the head and neck. Oh. So you can think that's, you can imagine leather that's 1 centimetre thick, that's extremely thick.
That's massive.
Yeah, I had a friend in New Zealand, Kerry Kalorn, who had an elephant skin briefcase, which I think he'd got in Africa. And he, certainly it was incredibly thick, this kind of scaly little lines in it. It was very, you know, the skin like you've never seen before. It was quite remarkable.
I wonder what elephant skin feels like.
So I've ridden on an elephant in Thailand, on the island of Koh Samui, actually a friend of mine. I was there with my friend Tony Noyes, and we were just driving along the roads on scooters. Everyone rides these little scooters around Koh Samui. It's a little island in the South China Sea. And there was an elephant on the side of the road, and we stopped, and the chap said, do you want a ride? I think with the benefit of hindsight, he just wanted money from us, and we gave him some money, obviously. And the elephant looked well cared for. It was an Asian elephant, and it was domestic. And it was fantastic. It was sort of very, very dry skin. Elephants don't sweat. And with these quite wiry hair, yeah, very interesting feeling skin. True or false, elephants don't have testicles.
Elephants don't have
testicles.
That's a weird question to ask, because most animals do have testicles. I'm guessing if you'd ask that sort of question, they don't.
They do have testicles.
But they're inside their body.
But they're inside their body. You've got it there. The testicles are near the kidneys, so they're completely internal, and they don't have dangling testicles like you see on bulls or rams or...
Hard to castrate an elephant.
Yeah, I would imagine it's just about impossible, although they're... I'm aware that they're doing laparoscopic AI, artificial insemination, on elephants in zoos. So
what does that mean?
So they're collecting sperm from elephants, freezing it, And then, you know, it allows zoos to send sperm around the world.
So other places can have baby elephants.
Yeah, exactly. So, so they can have elephants without the need to, obviously...
get a male.
I can imagine flying elephants around the world for mating purposes would be extremely expensive. So, yeah, it allows them to breed elephants without the need to fly elephants around. So, were we castrating elephants?
Yeah.
So, I guess you could castrate an elephant surgically, and you know people can do amazing things with laparoscopic surgery now. So yeah, it might be an interesting one for me to find out. I could perhaps ring Australia Zoo or something like that, and because they've got the Asian elephants there, haven't they?
Yes, I think I've never been though. You guys have been.
I've been to Australia Zoo, but you've seen the elephants at Auckland Zoo.
Hmm. Yep, I thought. You know, so you sent me the postcard with an Asian elephant on it.
Oh, okay, that's true. One of the things I like about the elephants at the zoos is they tend to use them for heavy work. They use them like tractors around the zoo, which I think is quite neat. You know, it gives the elephants a job around the zoo and keeps them entertained. Mm. So they use them for, you know, obviously I think when you're building enclosures for elephants and habitats for enclosures for all the animals in the zoo, there's lots of logs and natural things to be moved about, and they really use the elephants for those tasks. True or false, elephants have 2-year-long pregnancies?
Yes.
Yeah, true, they do. They have a very long gestation of almost 2 years. So that obviously young elephant calves are born quite large, and, you know, around 200 kilos, and they're born very developed, you know, very well developed.
Yeah, so they can stand up after a wee while.
So, they're often on their feet within an hour. I mean, and that's very much consistent with being born into an environment where there's quite a few predators that you need to be on your feet, suckling and moving on very quickly. It's often amazing when you think about how helpless human babies or carnivore babies like dogs and puppies and kittens are. You know, when you see a calf or a foal on the ground and they are up and moving and they can run incredibly quickly, you know.
Have you seen horse? I've heard them. I don't know if it's fact or not, but foals, they would get up and move in half an hour and they can actually run.
Yeah.
Like sprint after 1 hour.
Yeah, no, so incredibly able to avoid predators from a very young age. Right, this is our last one, and it's our first question from a listener. This is from our friends Lulu, Jack and Hamish McNally in Masterton, New Zealand. They've been our sort of test subjects for these podcasts, so we keep sending them to them and asking them for comment. Lulu McNally would like to know whether she could have a pet elephant and how much she'd have to feed it each day. Well, the answer is that an adult elephant eats about 450 kilos of dry matter each day.
How much would that be?
Well, that's equivalent to about 20 conventional bales of hay. That is it's a massive quantity of food.
In human, how much would that be for us to eat?
Oh, crikey. Well, I mean, it's probably, compared to their body weight, it's about a tenth of their body weight in terms of dry matter. So it's a lot of food, whatever way you look at it. You know, it's like us eating 10 kilos of food a day,
yummy,
something like that. Yeah, obviously, because it's vegetable matter, it's much lower energy, and elephants have a system where they eat grasses and scrub their browsers and their grazers, and they get through a great deal of food, and they don't actually digest it a great deal. Nothing like as much as a foregut fermenter like a cow or a sheep would do. They're a hindgut fermenter, and when you look at elephant dung, it's got relatively undigested grasses in it and things like that. So they eat a great deal of food, but it's sort of minimally processed in the gut, so they extract a very little bit of energy out of each bit of food. Joke of the week, Xanthi. Are you ready for this? I'm telling the joke this week.
Okay, what is it?
What is grey, has 4 legs, and is made of concrete?
A statue, maybe?
No, an elephant.
But elephants aren't made of concrete.
I just put that in to make it harder.
Okay.
I think it's probably good that Harry's back next week telling the jokes. So that's it. Just a short episode today, folks. Because Xanthi was going away, Xanthi's going to be away for the next 10 weeks. Thought it'd be great to involve her in a podcast and also just a bit of a celebration of us getting on iTunes. So, yeah, please review us and give us ratings on iTunes. So just another thought, it really helps us out if you can click the subscribe button in iTunes. If you want to use a another podcatcher, then you can get our Feed Burner feed. So you just click on the Feed Burner link off our blog, which is askanimalgeeks.wordpress.com. Harry and I are still planning on the snake podcast. We went out 2 nights ago looking for snakes. And did we see any, Xanthi?
No.
So it turned into a exercise in GPS navigation.
Because we got lost, and then when we were just got to a power line, the GPS went flat.
Yeah, it's all right. We found our way home. So yep, we'll be doing Snake Podcast on Sunday. So we'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
See ya.